Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Uber and Lyft, the two ride-sharing companies, are in and out of trouble with San Francisco and Los Angeles. And you'd be surprised how much trouble an undeclared banana can cause you.
At 3:15, consumer travel advocate Ed Perkins joins us to talk about pending travel laws we need to keep an eye on. And he'll give us advice on how to effectively is the word here, complain at the airport. It's a science, my friends, and Ed has some important tips.
At 3:45, we tell you about a new portable air purification device that will keep the air around you free of germs and other icky things.
And finally, at 3:50, we hook up with our friends from the Travel Channel to tell us about a brand new show. It's called The Booze Traveler. It's not exactly what you might think it is.
All that interesting, interesting, interesting. On a Christmas shopping December afternoon, you're with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I'm a traveling man, king of the road,
riding on the city of New Orleans.
Chickens out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone. It's a beautiful Sunday afternoon. It's a holiday time here at the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. As always, I'm Tom Romano to your right, and Mark Hoffman on the left side of your dial. Right, Mark?
Yeah,
why
that's
are you
it.
Always, why are you always on the left? I don't know why that is.
because considering the radio station we're broadcasting on, someone has to be on the left.
There you go.
From time to time. How have you been, my friend?
I have been wonderful. Of course, everybody is still drying out somewhat from the rain and the winds and all of that from earlier this week, and we're going to be getting some this coming week as
well. Yeah, we're getting some more tomorrow, and then the next day it sounds like here, Thomas. You know, we were in Chicago on Thursday.
I know, and you flew back in that whole mess.
Right in the middle of it. We landed. Well, what was supposed to be right the middle of it the storm of the week, month, decade, century, depending on what one you bought into. But before we left Chicago, very interesting thing happened. Southwest came on the PA system before we boarded the plane and said, you know, look, there's very bad weather in Sacramento, and there is a possibility that this plane could be diverted to another airport. Mm-hmm. Of course, Oakland, Stockton would be probably the two most likely possibilities.
Well,
and
San Francisco.
People were saying, well, why would they do that?
Yes, because San Francisco is in worse shape than Sacramento.
Oh, yeah, way worse shape. And so the reason that they do that, if you ever have this happen to you, if an airline tells you before you get on the plane that there's a possibility that your plane could be diverted, what they're basically telling you is, if this plane bound for Sacramento goes to Oakland, we told you that was a possibility ahead of time, and it's your responsibility to get to Sacramento, not ours. So if they warn you ahead of time, it's basically buyer beware, and you're deciding, oh, okay, in spite of what you've told me, I'm going to get on the airplane and go anyway. So if you get to the other end, Southwest doesn't have now the responsibility for getting 159 people from Oakland to Sacramento. They're all on their own. So something to remember when you hear those words before you get on the airplane. They're trying to warn you, but they're also trying to cover their rear ends too.
Now, with that being said, you're on board the plane. You're most of the way to Sacramento. They come on the intercom and then announce that they're not going to be able to land in your destination, and they are going to take you someplace else. Whose responsibility is it then?
Well, then it truly is yours, because you got on that airplane and they told you this was a possibility.
Well, no. What if they didn't tell you before you got on the plane?
Oh, but they didn't tell you ahead of time. Well, then
no.
It's their responsibility to get you to your destination.
So if the announcement isn't made until you're on board and on your way, then it becomes their responsibility.
Exactly. It's by making it ahead of time, they're basically giving you the option to not get on the plane and to try to come to them and pursue some other way to guarantee you get there the next day, the next week, whatever it is. But that's, yeah, if you hear that, they're trying to cover themselves. It doesn't necessarily mean that your flight's going to be diverted. In our case, we had some bumpy rides coming in. The pilots did a terrific job. We had just a perfect landing. And other than a few bumps and not being able to get up and use the restroom anytime you wanted to, no major catastrophes flying into Sacramento on Thursday. I'm very grateful we weren't flying into San Francisco, however.
Impressive. Now, you've back from Chicago. I understand you're working on a new trip for Sports Leisure Vacations.
We are off to Hawaii, to the Big Island and Kauai to put together a really exciting early December trip for next year. Early December is a great time to visit over there. There aren't as many other visitors to compete with. And so the best time to go to a destination is the year before at the same time so that you can experience some of the things that your travelers will experience when they get there.
Well, okay. Well, we'll be very excited to see what all you come back with.
The information on this new tour will come to Sports Leisure Travelers sometime next spring.
Okay, got a great show ahead of us. Let's get started. It's time to, as always, start off the top of the program with what we call the travel news. Lots of stuff going on in the travel news. Mark, what do you have for us today?
Hey, I've got, as we mentioned in the headlines, Los Angeles and San Francisco have both filed a joint consumer protection suit against Uber this past week. According to the filing, ride-sharing the companies charged customers $1, Uber did, a safe rides fee, and falsely told those customers that part of that money was paying for an industry-leading background check process. The suit also claims that Uber used techniques that were unapproved by the state to determine customer fares. The city's also announced a $500,000 settlement with Lyft. Confirming the settlement, Lyft said it demonstrated their shared commitment to consumers and innovation. So the cities have accused both car services of unlawful business practices in the past, including their methods of screening drivers and charging passengers. A third riding service, Sidecar, is still under investigation and could also face a lawsuit if it doesn't come to an agreement with the cities. Interestingly enough, Tom, Uber, the state says that Uber was fraudulently charging customers a $4 so-called airport fee toll when using the Uber X service for a trip from San Francisco International Airport, even when the Uber X drivers weren't paying anything to the airport because they didn't have permission to operate there.
Well, you know,
so this suit is looking for refunds for people who have paid those fees. So the whole world turns story of the ride sharing company just kind of continues. Another interesting story here is Uber's philosophy, Tom, pretty much has been better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. And I'm not sure that strategy is going to serve them well forever.
Well, I'll tell you, what's going to happen, in my opinion, is these ride-sharing companies, as these stories continue to crop up and all the other negatives, it's going to put them in such a bad light that they're no longer going to be ahead, as they have been trying to be, of the taxi services that they're trying to compete with.
And that may very be, you may very well be right there, but boy, I'll tell you what, a lot of people just absolutely swear by these ride sharing companies. I mean, they're fast, they're efficient, the drivers are generally friendly. So I hope that this can all be worked out, because I really do think it's a huge part of the sharing economy, and we're going to see a lot more of this down the road. Okay, new fees are coming up for legroom on Alaska Airlines starting next year. Alaska is going to get an extra $15 for the bulkhead and exit row seats. They're not going to create an economy plus section per se, but they are going to charge you $15 to get those coveted extra legroom seats on their aircraft. They're generally are only three rows of them. It will bring Alaska Airlines $15 million a year in extra revenue and cost them almost nothing.
United
has downgraded its frequent flyer program just a little bit with a few little things. Elites will no longer have the fee waived when they apply for global entry, and gold members are only going to get to check two bags instead of three. It's just another example of the airlines tightening the screws a little bit. And Tom, last week, you know, we had a caller who called in. We were asking for unique travel experiences from folks. And I believe one gentleman was telling us about being on an airplane when a lady was about to give birth or something like that. You remember that last week?
We did. Yeah, no,
a couple weeks ago, I guess.
Yeah, we were talking about, I think we were talking about the things that you don't want to see when you're on an airplane. And one woman says, well, I don't want to see somebody giving birth, or, hey, I was talking to the flight attendant that their water broke.
And exactly. That's exactly what happened this week. A Southwest flight took off from San Francisco Tuesday morning, and when it landed in Los Angeles an hour and 15 minutes later, it had one more passenger than it took off with. The Los Angeles Fire Department was amazing. On hand with paramedics. The mother and newborn were taken to a hospital in good condition. The aircraft was taken out of service for cleaning, and the other passengers went on to Phoenix on board another plane, arriving about 2 hours behind schedule. I thought that was cute since we had just talked about it. I have one more story here, but we'll save it for the end of the program. We want to talk to folks about why it's important to declare a bar of chocolate or, yes, even a banana when you're coming back into the country. We'll talk about that later on in the program, and that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Ed Perkins joins us right after a short break from Smarter Travel. You won't want to miss this segment. Coming up next, you're on the Travel Guys.
The weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go,
welcome, everyone. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman with Sports Leisure Vacations to my left. It's another fabulous Travel Guys radio program, and back with us, one of our favorite guests, Ed Perkins. Mark?
Ed has been, Ed, you've been traveling the world in recent weeks. It sounds like London and Italy and...
That's it, London and Italy. Didn't go the other direction.
Yeah, this was a business and a pleasure trip, perhaps?
As far as the IRS is concerned, they're all business trips. But I actually started out in London, where I wanted to talk with some of the people in the consumer oversight business there, the people at the tour manager people and the airline overseers. And we talked about consumer issues. And then the trip to Italy was good to see a part of Italy I had never seen before. The South, which is sort of the heel of the boot, if you use that analogy.
You may have been traveling, Ed, but your stuff was still spitting out at Smarter Travel and at Tribune all over the place every couple of days. You have brought up a point that is starting to permeate our society in a variety of different places, and that is what is referred to as dynamic pricing. Sports teams were some of the first people to do this. Using the example of our own Northern California team here, it costs a lot more to go see the Giants play the Dodgers than it does to go watch them play the Astros. Better teams, better demand. The teams can get more money for the tickets. Lesser teams, lesser demand, they can get less money for the tickets. And for a number of years, sports franchises have been using a variety of data for that, both not only the teams that they're playing, but day game, night game. In Chicago, it costs less to go see the Cubs in April and May than it does to see them in June and July. It is your feeling, Ed, that this dynamic pricing thing is about to show up in the travel industry and big time. Explain what you mean.
The idea is that we now have computer systems and so on that can adjust prices to demand on what amounts to a real-time basis. The kinds of things you're talking about, where it costs more to go to AT&T Park against the Giants than against the Astros, add to that another dimension. I mean, that's set up a long time in advance. Mm-hmm. But consider what would happen if that price could change by the minute, depending upon how many people were buying tickets. And that's the kind of thing that we're going to be able, that the industry is going to be able to do. It's basic. It's economics 101, that the link between demand and supply is price. And with, say, an airline, the objective is always to have just one seat left at right near departure time so that you can always sell somebody something. But the objective on the other end is not to have too many empties. It's where you want to lower your price. So what we can do now is, as I say, it's coming to the point where this can be done on a real-time basis. And if you look up a fare now and then you fuss around and do some looking around and then look back at the same fare again, it may be different because two people may have bought tickets in the interim period.
Now Ed, not only has this, of course, for airlines, this has been going on for a little while. We know that airlines change their fares. We've told our listeners those fares are changed, if not daily, sometimes multiple times a day, making certain pockets in the week perhaps a little bit better time to buy a ticket. But you're talking about this for restaurants and hotels and the like. I mean, what if a restaurant found that, you know, this evening was really busy? Could they not in effect, change the menu prices in the middle of the night.
Yes, I think they can. That's one of the examples I used. You may not get printed menus anymore. You may get a tablet that says this is what the prices are for the next hour. And if somebody comes in 15 minutes later, their tablet may show different prices. So that sort of thing is going to happen. The same thing with hotel rooms, rental car availability. The suppliers are going to be able to fine-tune their prices to demand with a lot more precision than they're doing right now.
Well, I'll tell you, this is really going to change the way a lot of people run their lives, because we're kind of a creature of last minute decisions. So you're going to have to start planning ahead so that you can lock down those better prices if this dynamic pricing really kicks in.
But the thing is, Tom, you may see a price and say, well, gee, that looks like a really good price, and 2 hours later, it's a lower price. Or what if a restaurant, for example, has a lot of fresh fish,
mm-hmm.
and it gets to be 7:30 in the evening, and they say, well, gee, you know, this halibut's going to go bad if we don't serve it tonight or tomorrow. Suddenly, halibut may become half price. Is that kind of the type of concept we're talking about here, Ed?
Yes, it is. And I think one of the consequences of this thing is that people have to get over the idea that somehow or other there's a magic way to get the lowest price.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to have a different mindset. And I know that's hard. I know people who just obsess on the idea, I want to get the lowest price. I think that's going to be very difficult. I think the mindset you have to have is, if you see something, yeah, that price is good, then take it.
Mm-hmm.
And don't worry about whether it's going to go up or go down in another minute or day or week.
Ed, yeah. I want to shift gears here and talk a little bit about, you wrote an article a couple of weeks ago while you were roaming the planet about how to complain at the airport and actually get what you want. And it's, for those of us who are road warriors, I personally found this article to be fascinating. Folks can find it at travelguysradio.com. By the way, we're talking with Ed Perkins, our favorite consumer advocate, we get updated with Ed every once in a while, catch up with him and about some of the things that he has written about travel. And I wanted to talk about this complaining at the airport, Ed. You've got a list here of a number of things that really, as I read it, I found, wow, you're right about most of this stuff. Let's talk a little bit about how folks can register a complaint at the airport and get what they want. You talk about centering yourself and, you know, don't be a jerk and know what you want. How do you approach a negotiation at the airport?
I have found over the years, and I see an awful lot of emails from people who are complaining about something, and the biggest complaint, the biggest mistake people make when they complain is not having a firm idea of what they want and not saying it. They'll send these letters or complain to somebody, oh, you did this and then you did this and it's awful. What are you going to do about it? No, that's not the way to go. What you said, this is what happened. It's put me out to the point that I think you owe me $100 or 10,000 miles in frequent flyer account or whatever. But the first thing you have to do, if you're going to do a complaint, you have to say what you want as the result.
And now, Ed, you also talk about the importance of being reasonable, about not being a complete jerk when you approach these kind of on the spot negotiations.
Well, of course not, and you have to remember that if it's a stressful situation with cancellations or delays, or that kind of stuff, that the person you're dealing with is at least as stressed as you are about the delay and so on. And if you get to be a jerk, you're going to find that the person you're dealing with is going to be very unsympathetic to your plight.
Now, is there a way that choosing your wording and how you say things will have an impact on this negotiation?
Well, first, stay calm. And secondly, have your own plan B in mind. Here's what I'd like you to do. Can you do this? And don't demand you will do this. You just say, look, this is the ideal solution for me. Can you come close to doing this for me? and stay reasonable about it.
And I understand, Ed, also that you want to remind people that this is going to take some time. There's going to be several exchanges between you and the person that the company that you're dealing with. So I guess patience is going to be important.
That's right. And then, of course, if you're doing an after-the-fact complaint, then you have to realize you're in for a long slog. Your first email, their letter to the supplier, to the airline or hotel or whatever, is going to get back a canned response. We're sorry you weren't happy. We hope to serve you better next time. I got that kind of response once from United Airlines, where I pointed out a technical problem on their website. And the response was, sorry, you didn't like your flight.
If you're at the airport, this is all going to take place in a short period of time, but you may or may not resolve the issue at the airport. So is collecting facts, I mean, people, what about using social media? Ed, some people have said that, I've read more than one place that somebody said, gee, you know, I sent a Twitter message to the airline and bingo, immediately I got an answer and it resolved the issue.
That sometimes helps, but it helps only if your request is specific and if it's reasonable. Because the other side of that is the airlines get, don't forget, airlines and hotels and other people get tons of complaints. And sure, the occasional social media thing works out well, like that guy who did a video on United Breaks Guitars. But
right.
for every one of those successful ones, a whole bunch more just never get noticed.
We're talking with Ed Perkins. Ed, can you stay with us for after the news break?
Of course.
Okay. We would love to talk to you about, we've got a whole list of things here. There's an Airfare Act left over from this year with a new Congress next year that may very well become an issue for consumers. You've got an update on some medical information for cruisers for folks who fly out of Stockton. We wanted to talk a little bit about Allegiant Airlines. And believe it or not, two-thirds of people say that it would be easier to get through the holidays if the guests would only stay in a hotel room. We'll ask Ed about all of that when we come back. We are the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Thanks for hanging in there, folks. We are the Travel Guys here every Sunday at 3 o'clock. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And again, with us on the line from Smarter Travel, our buddy Ed Perkins. We're going to pick up kind of where we left off, Ed.
Well, sounds as good a place as any.
Ed, there is a big piece of legislation that really isn't on anybody's radar. It was introduced this year. It kind of languished. We've had some changes now in the makeup of Congress. The Republicans have a majority in the Senate now. And you think that this Transparent Airfares Act of 2014 could come back to bite consumers next year. Explain what you mean.
One of the best things that has happened to consumers in terms of price shopping was a couple of years ago when the Department of Transportation said when you post an airfare, it's got to include everything you really have to pay. So that when you log on to an airline's website or an Expedia or something like that, say, I want to know the price of a round trip to New York, that first figure you hit includes everything. It includes the base fare, it includes taxes, it includes fees. Well, the airlines don't like that, and so they managed to write a bill and get the House of Representatives to accept it that says allows them to exclude government taxes and fees from their posted airfares. Their rationale is, oh, well, people need to know how much the government's taking. But the real worry here is how you parse that phrase about government taxes and fees, because I'm pretty sure the airlines will want to insist that the modifier government applies only to taxes, so that they can not only exclude government fees, but they can also exclude the fees that the airlines put on, like fuel surcharges.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, you're going to find phony fares all over the place. And it will be a very tough problem for consumers.
So where is this bill, and where does it stand at the moment?
Well, the bill has passed the House, And one of my good consumer advocate buddies in Washington told me that when he asked the House people about, is there anything you can do about this, the response was, quote, the fix is in, which means the airline lobbyists promised some really good
sure.
stuff. Now, whether or not the Senate will go along, I have no idea. Or even if it does, will the president allow it to become law? And as you know, when you have something really bad that you want to become law and are afraid the president will veto it, you put it in a bill that you know he can't veto.
Now, Ed, with this Airfares Act, the new Congress will come in the next few weeks. They'll all come into office in January. So what do consumers do at this point? Is this just something that we keep an eye on? And if it starts to move, because this is really something that is going to be a negative for consumers. And you're right. The danger of this is that it's going to be written into a bill with something that the president wants, or it's going to be done in such a way that to veto it would create some political damage or something like that. These types of things tend to end up in those types of situations unless there is a strong public outcry in the beginning.
That's right. And the only thing consumers can do right now is contact their new senators, if they have a new senator, and say, this is bad business, do not vote for it. Other than that, there's nothing you can do. Again, as you say, you just got to keep your eye on it.
Until it gets a little bit more public visibility. Ed, you had an update on cruisers who have a medical problem at sea. And our own Congresswoman Doris Matsui here helped with getting cruise travelers a little bit of protection with a bill of her own a couple of years. You now indicate that if you have a medical problem at sea, you now could hold the cruise line. You could hold them liable for medical malpractice if they don't take care of you well out in the ocean.
That's right. And that's a good change because for years the cruise lines have taken the position, well, the medical doctor on our ship is an independent contractor, and we're not responsible for any mistakes he or she makes. So this is a useful change in the law. I hope not many of your listeners ever get to the point where they need to feel compelled to file a malpractice suit against a shipboard doctor.
No, but it is helping to move that needle slowly in the consumer's favor, one step at a time. We're kind of getting the cruise lines to have to play by some of the same rules that travel suppliers on land also have to play by, and that's good. Ed, folks who live in the Sacramento area, some of the folks who live especially south of Sacramento, we have a pretty wide reach here at KFBK. In Stockton, their only air service currently is from Allegiant Airlines, and you wrote how Allegiant is spreading out, but maybe they're running out of nowheres and somewheres. In other words, people in Stockton wanting to go to Las Vegas or to another recreational destination for a vacation, that maybe some of those easy combinations are going away. What do you see for the future of Allegiant Airlines for the benefit of our listeners in the Stockton area?
I think that as long as the people down there continue to patronize Allegiant, they will get the service they're getting and maybe get some more service. As Allegiant has been expanding into more destination areas, and most of those have been, in the last year, have been in the east rather than in the west. But I think Allegiant may rethink. They pulled out of Oakland. They may decide to go back in there. Now, I don't think anybody's going to fly Allegiant from Stockton to Oakland. But they are looking for new destination areas. They have airplanes with enough range right now to go to places like Florida, New Orleans, and I think they should even think about New York, which is a big destination. So, yeah, just keep your eye on the airline, and as long as it continues to make money there in Stockton, they'll keep looking for new places they can take you.
Our special guest is Ed Perkins with Smarter Travel. Ed, what recommendations would you have with the holidays coming up?
I saw an interesting one that you alluded to in the intro. A substantial majority, about two-thirds, of the respondents to this survey said that if you got family coming in,
there you go,
you'll both be a lot happier if you put them up in a hotel rather than in the spare room. And I think I couldn't agree with this more.
I think Tom, what do you think? I certainly fall in line with that.
Let's put it this way. When I travel to see my family in San Antonio, I do my daughter and her husband a favor, and I do stay not at their house. That way they don't feel like they have to go to the extra work. We've done both. But you know what? It works out best for both sides. I think you would also find, and I think you might agree, Ed, what do you think, that it's not only good for those that are hosting the event, but for those that are traveling there as well?
Oh, yeah. I think you want to be have a little bit more time and space to yourself than you typically get when you're a house guest. So, yeah, I do exactly the same. If I'm going to some family deal, I will find a motel nearby and give them a little space from me and give myself a little space from them.
So that, well, and it, as you suggested too, Ed, the idea of, hey, you've got a guest coming in, and why not suggest to them, as your Christmas gift, I would like to just treat you to this one or two nights in the local hotel. And hey, guess what? In a place like Sacramento, around the holidays, point levels do not go up. In some cases, they even go down. So you might be able to use your points, your miles, your something like that to provide maybe some that have just been languishing somewhere for a while to provide a room for a couple of nights, get yourself a little peace and quiet, give your guests some independence. I think you've hit on, and the reason that I brought this up from your writings here was because I think it's truly one of the best ideas that you've had all year, because I think it certainly in my family would help keep the peace.
Well, don't praise me. I didn't raise the issue. I just reported on it. But I sure agree with it.
If you have an interest in some of the topics that we've covered with Ed today, you will find connections at travelguysradio.com where you can read up on some of those things. Ed writes regularly for smartertravel.com. And if you go to smartertravel.com and subscribe, you will get Ed's articles and his opinings all along the way. So, Mr. Perkins, thank you, sir.
Well, and thank you for your hospitality to me, as always. And because we probably won't be speaking again until next year, I wish you guys and your listeners a very happy holiday season.
Thank you, Ed, and same back to you and your family, too. You have a great one. You're listening to the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, and coming up, we found a travel gadget that's going to help protect you from germs when you travel. And we're going to be chatting with actor Jack Maxwell. He's the host of a new Travel Channel series called Booze Traveler. It's not quite what you might expect. That's next on The Travel Guys. Always here to make you a smarter and safer traveler. We are The Travel Guys on KFBK. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, I got a great email the other day from someone that said travel gadget in the topic. And so, so I clicked on it and kind of drilled in to find out something about a product called Virus Zero. So I made a couple of calls, and we're fortunate enough to have on the line with us Dave Holtzman and Scott Latanzio. They're partners in a little company called Virus Zero LLC. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Why don't we start off right off the top and tell people a little bit about what this Virus Zero product is all about and what it does.
Sure thing. The Virus Zero portable device is a device designed for really taking your clean air with you when you travel, if you work out of an office, if you're in a hotel room or a stateroom on a cruise ship. It's a device that is small enough and portable enough to pack very easily, and it essentially has an engine in it that was designed and developed by Samsung. It's called the SPI device. Mm-hmm. that actually through cleansing ions, it cleans the air around you and rids the air of things like viruses, volatile organic compounds, mold, bacteria, pet dander, allergens, things like that.
Do you wave this around when you're walking around the room, or do you hold it in your hand, or is it more meant to be a stationary item? Help me understand.
Sure. It actually can sit in your desk or by your bedroom. It actually
fits perfectly into a cup holder as well in an automobile.
Is it something that is could be battery powered and you could literally take it with you on your air flight?
Well, it's not battery powered. It does have electrical capabilities to work in your car.
Okay.
But when you're in your office and such, it does need an outlet to plug into. It's a powered device. But it does fit in the cup holder, and it does a great job of cleaning small, compact spaces like your car.
And so, when you say small, compact spaces, you're talking about an area, 5 feet, 8 feet around you.
It's rated for approximately 200 feet.
That's a lot.
200
wow.
Square, 200 square feet. Yep. It's a powerful device, given its size.
Now, is it quiet?
Very quiet. In fact, on the site, which I believe you're going to list, it shows you the decibels and the wattage.
Looking at it on your website, I see it just looks like a small canister. It's not something it would be fairly easy to be able to carry with you. Who has tested this? Is it has somebody gone out and said yes, this is effective? What stats do we have to back up the fact that it keeps the air clean around you?
Great question. On the site, you will see a certifications page. And there are certifications listed and lab tests revealed that show effectiveness against influenza, H1N1, H5N1, MRSA, corona,
different allergens,
and mold. So there is some certification testing that you can find online.
And indeed, Tom, when you go to their website, which I'm looking at right now, and
right.
you go to certifications, and they are all there. Very impressive, guys.
This looks like the perfect thing to have. You throw it in your suitcase. You show up at a hotel while you're traveling, and you have no idea who was in that room before you, and any opportunity to not get sick on a trip from another hotel room makes a lot of difference. And then I guess here again, you can take it to work with you when you get back. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. Oh, by the way, it runs what, about $179?
Yeah, the portable device is $179. We're doing some specials online that customers can see when they visit the website.
So you can go to viruszero.com or you can go to Travel Guys Radio, and we will have a link to their website there. Scott and David, thanks for being a part of the program.
Our pleasure. Thanks very much.
Just another way to make you a smarter traveler and maybe a little safer traveler. Remember that you can go to travelguysradio.com to get the connection to the website for those guys. Tom, that certainly sounds like, as somebody who travels all the time, you've always got people hacking and scratching all around you, and you're going into a different hotel room every night. It sounds like something that might, I'm going to look into it. Let's shift gears here a little bit. Tom, you were talking to our friends at the Travel Channel earlier this week, I know.
You're right there, Mark. I did. I hooked up with the host of a new show called Booze Traveler. Let me introduce to you somebody you may have seen on a number of television programs, has had a role in Lost and Ugly Betty and 24 Hour and Without a Trace, bringing to the program the new host of a show called Booze Traveler on the Travel Channel. It's Jack Maxwell. Jack, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, let's tell folks a little bit about what this Booze Traveler is all about. It sounds like something anybody that enjoys a good drink would want to be in your shoes.
Yeah, it's a great gig. But even if you don't enjoy a good drink, if you enjoy culture or if you enjoy people or places, we bring it all of that to you, because it's really about a celebration and an exploration of all of the people, places, and cultures of the world, and we do it through the lens of a cocktail glass.
Now, I understand you already have about 15 one-hour episodes in the can. Tell us a little bit about some of the places that you plan to take us.
Oh, well, so fascinating. You know, we were cruising down the Amazon in Peru, and I was looking out for caiman and snakes, maybe. They were trying to get me, and I finally get off the boat, and we walk a long way through the jungle and come upon this native tribe. And after some back and forth, they accepted us. They cooked me piranha.
Oh, boy.
And taught me how to do poison darts, and then said, hey, would you like a drink? Through an interpreter, of course.
Uh-huh.
And I said, great, but I don't see anything around. So then the chief makes a motion with his arm, and all the women of the tribe get up, get together, get down, and eat this potato and lean over this bowl, and after 3 or 4 minutes, spit into it. They ferment that, and that becomes spit beer. That was fascinating to me, and of course I tried it, because they were generous enough to invite me into their way of life, so I'm gonna drink it all in, so to speak.
Wow, that's an amazing story, Jack. Tell us one more.
Oh, sure. How about Mongolia? We tracked down a nomad family after looking for camel footprints, which led to camels, which led to this family. Took forever to find them. And we get there. And to be accepted in, they offer you camel milk vodka in a bowl. I took a sip. They said, oh, you have to finish it or you're insulting the family and the culture. So I finished a whole bowl of camel milk vodka. Then they said, well, actually, if you really want to show that you're a guest and you appreciate their hospitality, you have to drink three bowls in a row. So I did that because I would never insult a culture or a people or a wonderful family like they were.
Yeah, how'd that work out for you?
I'm saying right here for the record, Jack Maxwell, the booze traveler, says three bowls of camel milk vodka might be too much and may lead to a headache. Use only as directed. So, you know, but it's not a show about drinking. It's a show about drinks. We find out what people drink, why they drink, and then the stories they tell when they do, which are fascinating.
This is awesome. It's called Booze Traveler. It's the Travel Channel's new original series. It's Mondays on the Travel Channel near you.
We hope you join us. Thanks for having me, guys.
The Booze Traveler. That, it truly is, Tom. When you first told me about this, I had no idea that that was where this was going. Listen, we have a winner here on the Travel Guys Sports Leisure Vacations Traveler Contest that we do each week. Gus Lovett is our winner. Gus went to see Kinky Boots in San Francisco with Sports Leisure Vacations last week. Gus, if you or your lovely wife and Dean call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday, you will win a travel card worth $125.
Mark, we promised folks that we'd cover something at the end of the show that we missed at the beginning of the news that had something to do with a banana. What do you got?
Oh, the banana story. Yes, yes. This has to do, Tom, very briefly with, you've got, for those of you who have global entry, listen up. I have two stories in my hands here, both of which have come my way in the last 10 days. One involves a banana. The other one involves a bar of chocolate. In each case, the person reentering the country who had global entry status, you can't bring anything back into the country that you don't declare. In each case, these folks were hit because they had a chocolate candy bar and a banana. It became they got written up. Their luggage got searched. They got a strike against them. The guy with the banana actually lost his global entry access.
Oh my.
The guy with the chocolate was told he had a strike, and if he ever did it again, he would lose his access too. So the bottom line is, you're coming back into the country. Remember, any kind of foodstuffs on any level, you've got to declare them, because if the dog finds them, then you are in big trouble, and your life will get a lot more complicated. Don't let a banana or a bar of chocolate bring you down.
I have a question, and then we're going to wrap
it
up. We're almost out of time. Okay, you're traveling. I'm going to be traveling to Texas here for Christmas, and I'm going to have a whole suitcase full of presents. Is it okay if I wrap these presents before I put them in my bag?
It is okay, but you have to know that TSA reserves the right to unwrap them if they can. I strongly recommend for folks traveling with presents on an airplane, wrap them after you get to your destination. Great thing to bring up, Tom.
All right. Well, that's about it. Unless you've got something else, I think we're going to say goodbye for this week.
I think we're all done. We'll be back next Sunday with a little bit of a special kind of Christmas show. It'll be a live show, but we're going to replay some of our interviews that we've enjoyed sharing with you, some of our best stuff from during the year. So you have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday at 3 right here on The Travel Guys.